Turn your Bible, book of Genesis, chapter number 32. Book of Genesis, chapter 32. And go with me down to verse number 24. Genesis 32, verse number 24. And we're going to just read a few verses here down to the end of the chapter. A very pivotal time in the life of Jacob. Notice what it says, verse number 24. And Jacob was left alone. Remember the story. He's going to meet. He's left his uncle Laban. He's ran away from him. That was after he ran away from his brother to start with. Now he's going back, but he's scared to meet up with Esau. And if you remember, they've sent droves over ahead, and some of his family was with each of those droves, and hopefully he was going to find Esau's grace by doing that. And then it says that Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he hauled it upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh. Unto this day he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Now I want you to think about that and put that with this verse, and we'll have prayer. In the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, verse 16, he says, "And this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank you for your marvelous hand of goodness. We pray that you might bless and speak to hearts. Help us to understand really tremendous truth from your word. You're the author of anything that's so marvelous as this. And we just thank you for it. You give it to us. Help us make the sense of it tonight. Spirit of God, lead and direct, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. It says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to talk about something to begin with, and that is this. People have relational problems. Isn't that true? Sometimes it's husbands and wives, sometimes children and their parents, sometimes it's brothers and sisters, sometimes it's cousins, sometimes it's good, what were good friends, and then they become bad friends, sometimes it's associates. But there's always problems with people, and the reason there's problems with people is because unlike us, everybody else is not good. I mean, they're not perfect like we are. And so, you know, we have some problems with them. But we cannot fix those problems. There's a couple things we do oftentimes. One of those, we try to withdraw. And so we try to just, you know, back away from it. But that never fixes it. By the way, you cannot be a good athlete by pulling away from the teammates. It just does not work. Sometimes we try to fix the problem by blaming somebody else. And what that ultimately does is putting the responsibility for our problem upon another. And though another may well have a problem within a relationship, we must recognize something of our own. And you might be able to guess, it is our walk in the flesh. There is one way to fix that problem. They are fixed by brokenness. And we find here in this story of Jacob a tremendous illustration of brokenness and a new walk and new relations as a result of that. We know from reading the scripture that Jacob never dealt with his problem with Esau. He never dealt with his problem with Laban. And not until that night, as his family and all their stuff is out ahead of him on the other side of the brook, does he get alone with God. And he has to deal with it. Talks about him wrestling. He's wrestling with God. It's a term referring to as, really, we might just call it a big prayer meeting with the Lord. But there's something that took place that night. And after it was all said and done, God touched his flesh. And from that day forward, Jacob had a different walk. The sinew of his flesh had shrank. And what happened then is that he now walked with a noticeable limp. What we find here is that now, after this time, after this breaking, if we could say so, we find that he has victory with his brother. Before he'd run from him, now he's going towards him. And so it is that you and I need to let the Spirit of God break us to see our real self and get forgiveness. And as Jacob, our walk will be noticeably different. It is walking in the Spirit. When we will finally realize that our problems with people are really a result of our walking in the flesh, we give over to walking in the Spirit. Tonight I had just a little fun with this. I got to see it today, but it applies so well here tonight. How did this young girl beat this old man? How this girl could probably barely lift 50 pounds stand up to a guy who probably presses 350? How did she do that? It's all in what side got stretched the most. You might not have noticed it, but when she pulled back upon that, she actually got a hold of it. She had it in her hand and got a hold of it, and one side was much tighter than the other. See? One side was tighter than the other. We could label that tight side the Spirit of God. We could label the other side the flesh. And Brother Hovind made such a tremendous point with that, because what takes place when that rubber band is released is the strong side goes out first. And when you allow the Spirit of God to lead your flesh, you can go a lot farther. And there's something else about that. We didn't do that tonight. But you can do it more accurately. I saw him shoot a rubber band as far as from me to Donovan back there and could hit Donovan right square in the nose. Never raising up to aim. He'd done it a few times. Aren't you glad we've teaching our kids how to shoot rubber bands? But what a truth there is there. As we allow what the Spirit of God to lead us, we can thus go much farther and get so much more accomplished. But I want to give tonight a warning. And that is, when we begin to walk in the flesh, there is a problem that's going to present itself. And that is, we begin to walk in the Spirit. Man, I messed up already. We begin to walk in the Spirit. We have a problem, and that problem is the flesh is going to rebel. Before you got saved, how did you make all of your choices? It was to satisfy you, was it not? Everything you did was for yourself. But when you get saved and you begin to listen to the Spirit of God, it's not for self anymore, but it's for God. But there's going to be a problem, because that flesh does not die very easy. Remember Paul said what? I die daily. It's an ongoing problem. And it is a most agonizing withdrawal pains that a person perhaps will ever experience. Have you ever seen somebody who was coming out of drug addiction or alcohol addiction? And sometimes they're screaming bloody murder. Sometimes they almost have to be held down by somebody else because of the horribleness of the situation. You see, that which has controlled you all of your life, which was in first place, is now all of a sudden not in second place, but third place. You're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And so we allow the Spirit to control the soul with all of its emotions, Then it tells the body what to do. That's spirit leadership. Is the body going to be content with that? Mm-mm. It doesn't die off easily. And we have these fleshly cravings, but we never have satisfaction. Let me give you, for instance, tonight. You have somebody, they did something terrible, and you just go up and tell them off. And you let them have it. And afterwards, you feel horrible. Do you know why? The flesh wasn't satisfied by telling them off. It always wants more. And we need to learn to recognize there are things that are going to seek to draw us away. Recognize the symptoms of withdrawal. For instance, we handle a situation and we need to learn how to handle that in the spirit. If we don't, the flesh will fool us into believing that the things that we used to do will still work. It might happen in the short term, but it sure won't happen in the long term. There's something interesting as you read on in the next chapter, and that is that Jacob, his brother wants him to take off with him and go back, and he says, no, we can't do that. The animals won't be able to handle that. Jacob walked with a reasonable speed after his meeting with Esau because he was now at peace. His family wouldn't be hurt by the fleshly groves that he'd set out there, which might be our so-called fleshly gains. And now it was all different. You see, the walking in the Spirit allows us something, and it is allows God to remove from us the works of the flesh. If you go to chapter 5, he talks about those. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, that means they're made known. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I have told you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a lot of stuff that we allow to lead us. But thank God, we can walk in the Spirit. How does that take place? Well, if we look back to Jacob, how did it take place? When he finally got alone with God and realized he could not do it himself. When he finally recognized his weakness, because Jacob had been a deceiver, had he not been? But now, it's no longer can he get himself out of that situation. He has one place to turn, and that is to God. And God breaks him, and that's shown as that sin in the flesh has been broken. And he forever walks with a limp, and his speed is that which is gentle. God can then produce character in our life that's impossible without him. If the fruit of the Spirit, and by the way, when you read that in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. When you see those fruit, a lot of times people read that as the fruits of the Spirit. It does not say that. It says the fruit of the Spirit. It's talking about it as a combination. And if it's operational in our life, it allows us to have greater relationships with other Christians and to, not with, but to the lost. Thank God we can be led of the Spirit. We can allow him to lead us. So how do I do that? Well, we have to recognize that what we're doing is most likely wrong. And we find out what it is that God wants to do, and when we see that, we can see what we've done wrong. And we just basically yield ourselves to the Spirit. It's like saying, "Here I am, Lord." It's like we bring in here a great big offering basket and you walk down the aisle and you got in the offering plate and said, "Here I am, God." And we allow Him to show us the way. But preacher, we live in a world that's full of all kinds of things out there, and how can I live a spiritual life in a pagan world? Jesus did. And we can have the spirit that took Jesus along for his lifetime. So walk in the spirit. How do we do it? First, we got to recognize it's not about us and how good we think we are, how smart we think we are, or anything else. And it's turning it over to the Lord, saying, "Here, lead me, I'll follow." This is a great spot. Amen? Great spot. Well, we're going to have a word of prayer. I hope you allow some of those things. Next time you pick up a rubber band, I hope you think about the spirit and the flesh. And some of you are going to go home and sting your fingers all to death trying to figure out how to do that. But amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for time together. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Spirit of God, that you are ever there to lead and direct, to guide. Lord, help us to see when we're not allowing that. Lord, help us to see that we so often think we're just so right and so perfect, but we're not. And allow you to lead and to guide. Bless in that which is to follow, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.